This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are finally getting the Jets due that we deserve.
Yeah, that's right. Talking Sharks. You really caused a ripple with that yesterday. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Tush Push, if they ban it, is it a big deal? I don't think so.
That'll work quickly there.
That was pretty quick, yeah. I mean, we've done dumber things. They could have turned around fast. They must have liked that one yesterday, Hugh. I mean, I think it was because many people thought yesterday, Hugh, that you really thought we could do the transplant with the shark meniscus. And again,
That's what people thought.
Well, yeah, they,
but
that's
we were
what
talking
heard.
About the innovative shark cartilage, you know, trying to, you know, regenerate Joel Embiid's knee. And all that other good stuff. That's what we were trying to do.
Yeah, we were playing doctor yesterday on the show. We'll stop doing that now. All right, your phone calls in the Tush Push. Is it a big deal if it's banned? And, of course, pick two. The Eagles' big four free agents. The NFL offseason begins in earnest today with the combine. But in 2 weeks, we got the start of the new league year. Sweat, Becton, Williams, Bond. If you could pick two to keep, who would it be? All right, let's go out right now to the guest line. Out in Indianapolis, and he's bouncing around the combine. Howie and Nick are going to speak at 2 Eastern, and we have Elliot Shore Parks with us right now. Elliot, how is Indianapolis?
ESP!
It's not as fun as New Orleans, I guess I could put it that way. But it's definitely interesting. It's going to be a busy and important week for the Eagles here.
All right, Elliot, let's start with the story of the day off of yesterday, which is the Packers outed as the team that's trying to get this Tush Push banned. And I saw today you're bouncing around as different teams are speaking already. And Brian Gutekunst, we played that audio of him talking about it. He kind of danced around it. But then, Elliot, I thought it was interesting when you tweeted out what Raheem Morris said about it. Because now I'm wondering if Pandora's box is open and maybe some teams who didn't want to be the first one to say, hey, let's ban this, now that the Packers are the team that did it, maybe other teams feel emboldened. What are you feeling so far this morning?
Yeah, so first I'd say it's absurd we're still talking about this, right? Like, the fact we've circled back to the Tush Push, I mean, it's a play. Other teams try to run it. They don't run it as well. That just is what it is. And I'm guessing that's some variation of what you'll hear from the Eagles today, when I'm sure they'll be peppered about it during their availability. But in terms of the overall feeling I get here, yeah, there are definitely more teams than I expected that are anti-Tush Push. And I get why. Like, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. It's a play they run. And it is easier to beat the Eagles if they don't have the Tush Push. That being said, I do not think it will get banned. I know that Raheem Morris came out and is against it. Obviously, the Packers are against it. And you're right. Maybe this is a bit of, like, now that someone was brave enough to say it, other people will step up. But I think if the Tush Push was going to be banned, it would have been banned already. I mean, this is not the first year of the play. It's not even the second year of the play. It's the third year. So I don't think it will be banned. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely teams that aren't a fan of it here.
Elliot, let's go off the premise. Let's say it does happen. Like, the NFL gets enough votes, the Packers lead the charge, and they do ban it. Do you think it would be a big deal for the 2025 Eagles if the play wasn't allowed?
No, I don't. Because I also think if you look, like, how often does he really get it because he's pushed? I think most times he gets it because they get the push at the offensive line, and then obviously because of Jalen's ability, he gets it. So, no, I think they'll just run a quarterback sneak, and I think they'll still convert at a very high rate. So I think more it being banned would just be annoying for the team than it would be impactful of their ability to win.
All right, Elliot, let's look at the offseason to come, because that really starts today. You know, I heard you this morning with the morning show, and that you framed it as this is looked at and talked about as a scouting combine, as a draft event. But really, it's the beginning of the offseason and the start of teams and agents and players all talking about numbers and free agency. So, Elliot, the big four, Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, and Zach Bond, if you had to rank those, who would you put one and two? Like, how would you prioritize the free agents for the Eagles?
You're saying me, not the team,
you.
Correct?
Yeah, let's start with you, and then we'll go to your guests on the team.
Okay, so if I was doing it, I would have Milton Williams number one. I think Milton Williams checks every box you want from a free agent. Impactful position, he's young, he came up with the team, so he's already a part of the culture that they want there. But I also think an important thing with Milton Williams is he's one of the few free agents, I think, that you can argue his best football is ahead of him. I don't know if that's the truth with Josh Sweat. I don't know if that's the truth with Zach Bond, you know, and obviously good on the line. Like, I think that Milton's the only one. So number two for me, though, would probably still be, I would probably say Zach Bond. Obviously, Mekhi Becton, I think, is, you know, important. But Zach Bond, I think we saw last year how impactful a linebacker can be to the defense. And, you know, much like seeing the Saquon thing, for so many years, I came on the station and said, you know, you can find linebackers, you can find running backs. What you saw is if you have special players at those positions, they do make a huge impact. So I would probably go Milton Williams, Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton, and then Josh Sweat.
All right, how about the Eagles? If you had to guess how they're going to – because I think we've all, or almost everyone, has come to the consensus that Bond is either one or two in almost everyone's rankings. Like, the Eagles need to bring that guy back. But, Elliot, it's not a position that they've spent on. And I know last year they kind of broke the mold with Saquon, so maybe they'll break the mold with Zach Bond. But let's go on the idea that his market gets pretty big and teams are bidding it up. Do you think the Eagles are going to spend on linebacker?
I do, yes. I think Zach Bond will be back. Now, obviously part of that you said in there is the assumption he'll make a lot of money. I do not think he is going to be a top 10 paid linebacker. I think if he is, it'll be mostly performative as opposed to like actual numbers. So I don't think he's going to get as much as everyone does. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the market heats up, but I do not think he's going to get a lot of money. So for that reason, I think he will be back. Now, the other free agents are tough. Like, I think Milton Williams is going to get paid. I think Josh Sweat is going to get paid. Mekhi Becton's an interesting one, though, because Mekhi Becton is a little similar to Bond in the way that he only has 1 year of elite play. But Mekhi Becton's only 25 years old, which is crazy because I feel like he's been in the league for forever. But he's still very young. He plays guard, obviously. He has experience as tackle. So I think he could potentially get paid, too. But I just don't think Zach Bond is going to get the money everyone else does.
Elliot, now, with where you are and what's going on this week, how much do you think what kind of draft it is, what they see out there, how the feel they get, impacts free agency? And really, I'm thinking of that because I keep seeing that this is a good defensive tackle draft, right? There's a lot of them. There's starters there. Do you think that the Eagles put that into the equation for Milton, or is it almost a separate thing like, hey, this is our value on Milton. If we can afford him, we want to keep him. Or do you think it's like, hey, yeah, we like him, but we could get his replacement in the late April?
I definitely think that's part of it. And I think that's the way you have to do it. I think that would be the case with every free agent, too. Now, you are right. This is a very good defensive tackle draft class. Obviously, having just came from New Orleans, like, I have not dove completely into this year's prospects. But the first position I did look at was defensive tackle. And you just read and you watch, like, four, five, six deep into this class, and you say, yeah, this can be an impactful pass rusher. So that's the thing. Milton Williams' strength is pass rushing. The strength of this defensive tackle class is pass rushing. This is not a class of Jordan Davis's where it's run-stopping nose tackles. The guys in this draft are good at getting after the quarterback. So I think that will absolutely factor into their decision. So I think it will impact Milton Williams.
Elliot Shore Parks with us live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. He's out there covering it. All right, Elliot, Myles Garrett's going to be a big subject, and that might be the biggest subject out there in Indianapolis. What do you think the cost could end up being? Because it's always interesting. Like, do we all want him? Sure, he's a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day. But the cost is everything in these kind of things. Elliot, if you had to guess right now, and maybe you have a strong guess, maybe not, but what's your guess on how much it might take to get him?
I think it's a first-round pick and then potentially plus. I think you're looking at a first and maybe like a third Or if you don't do the first, maybe you're looking at 2 seconds with some conditions that one could go up to a first. I think a big part of this is you say, what'll it cost? Well, a big part of that is financial, right? I mean, financially, he's going to be looking for a new deal when he's traded. So any team that acquires him is going to have to consider the fact that not only are you paying a first round pick, right? But you're also paying him, like, you know, a big time money. So I think you're looking at either first and then maybe like a mid round pick or 2 seconds.
Elliot, last one for you. I think the most underrated thing going on in the NFL right now, and it could impact the Eagles, is the Matthew Stafford thing. Something's weird about that. You know, the Rams were the closest team to beating the Eagles in the postseason. They've got a lot of good young players, and yet they seem very willing to let Matthew Stafford find a new home. Elliot, what's your read on that? And then how much do you think could impact the Eagles? I mean, obviously it would change the Rams, but also I'm watching to see where he goes. I mean, if he ends up in Minnesota... Yeah. That's significant. I mean, if he ends up, you know, with Giants, I don't think it's going to change the division, but it certainly adds, it's probably less of a layup, you know, just another 2 division games that are less of a layup. What do you think about the Stafford situation?
So I do think the reason this is happening is, you know, not to keep going back to this, but it's financial. Like, I'm sure Stafford wants a new deal, so he's out there seeing, will anybody pay him more, and if he likes the situation better. My guess is, after surveying, like, he will probably be like, no, I don't want a little more money to go play for one of the worst teams in the league in the Giants. Like, Minnesota is interesting, but, you know, they have a first-round rookie there, so who knows. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, would it impact the Eagles if Stafford ended on the Giants? Like, yeah, maybe they win by 10 instead of, you know, 18 or 20. But I don't think Stafford going to the Giants would be the one to worry about. Minnesota would be interesting, but I also think until Minnesota wins a playoff game, we probably have to stop being worried about them.
Well, and it also could knock the Rams down a peg, right? Unless they find a good replacement. Yeah. So that could help the Eagles. All right, Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and I'm sure we'll talk again this week with you out in Indianapolis. Thank you.
Have a good one, man.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Park. So Elliot has Milton Williams at the top of
his
board.
That's interesting, but I can see that because Elliot's looking at it like, you know, pay the guy. But I look at it from more of a standpoint and somebody who's been in an organization. But looking for ever more, I look at it as more of a standpoint of the quarterback's going to get paid more money this year. And you're going to have to try to strengthen your team. You're going to have to try to pay other guys. So you have to try to figure out strategically how can you alleviate some of that cost. And you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And I would take advantage of the fruitful draft that we have. I look at it like this. You go draft one of them young cats with this defense that they're in that has already pass rushing ability and just say, hey, man, go get the quarterback. Mm. And we'll teach you the defense as we go. We'll put you in on passing downs because we have a rotation anyway.
Right.
So we'll work you into the rotation. And you can learn as you go and then be that dominant guy that we need you to be at the end of the year.
Well,
that's kind of what Milton did.
It took him, you know, Milton was drafted in 2021. This is the year he broke out. So it took him a little while to become the player that is now going to get probably $20-something million a year. So that's part of it, right? It's finding the next guy in the draft. And this is a really good defensive tackle draft. That makes a ton of sense. I just think about the Jeff Stoutland thing. Like, can't he find another guard? I'm going to spend, because none of these guys are coming cheap. That's why we're kind of just picking two. All these players are going to make excess of double-digit millions per year.
Yeah. I mean, you have to figure out what do you feel is an easier get. What alleviates some of the pressure that you're going to have on some of the moves that you want to make. And I feel like it's easier, especially when you talk about the abundance of D tackles. Let's not forget, we're drafting 32.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be easier to find one of those guys later in the draft. With so many out there, as opposed to trying to find a guard or somebody like that that's going to help us out immediately, like the way that we want them to help us out.
Yeah, I don't think it's just as easy as, like, we can find – because I was in that mindset. But he's not just a guard, right? He's a former tackle, mm-hmm. can go back to tackle. Not that he wasn't good at tackle, but Jeff Stoutland seemed to have unlocked the ability that was already there. So you would need to find a guy with ability who's kind of on the scrap heap and can eventually convert to a tackle. It's not just like get a guard. Like that would be Tyler Steen. And I think we saw a pretty good drop off from Becton to Tyler Steen.
Yeah, we did.
When he had to play. So like I think Jeff Stoutland is a mastermind, but it's not a 100% hit rate.
So that's fair. I also think with the offense, they're bringing back 10 of 11 starters anyway. The continuity is there. Like I'm trying to keep this defense together as much as I can. And when we start next season, if we're letting go two of these defenders, that's two. Nakobe probably won't be ready for the start of the season. Like, how many guys from the defense that was the best all year are going to be there. I don't want it to be four or five different names, because that's what, when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and I know the defense wasn't quite as dominant, but I remember when we started the 2023 season, we were like, they have six or seven new starters and they stunk. I'm trying to keep as much of that together as I can. 215-592-9494.
You know what we also didn't figure out? If Elliot thinks he could score.
Oh, I forgot to ask, and that's on me. What does the Twitter poll think? Guessing they're not. You could text him.
It is. So I tagged him, maybe he'll respond himself. But 88% say no.
Okay.
He couldn't. Now, somebody offered up the idea of maybe Jalen carrying him across the goal line.
That counts, right? Touchdown. As long as he crosses the goal line. I do think Elliot could score in the tush push.
I agree.
Could Elliot score a touchdown in the tush push?
No.
Even if he's pushed in, like his tush is pushed.
Hey, Elliot go out there and get smushed. Elliot's a little soft.
I think he could sneak behind Landon in my lap.
I give you that, Danny. Yeah, he could do it. Fine.
Or like maybe run under their legs or something.
Yeah. Run under their legs. He's a little guy.
I might be coming around to your side on this debate, though, today. If Elliot could score, then it really is a special play we can't lose. I mean, if Elliot can score, then
if Elliot can do it, it's a special play.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. If the tush push is banned, is it a big deal? And pick two for the Eagles free agent.